Well, you know, when I was a young girl, I don't even think I'd had my first baby yet, I loved listening to Christian radio. I loved Christian TV. We didn't have a whole lot of it. I could get a PTL Club with Jim and Tammy Baker, and I would watch them, and they'd have all these great guests on. And we didn't have all the channels that we have now. And, of course, Oral Roberts was big in his day, and Jimmy Swaggart was big as far as the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, and Marilyn Hickey, and T.L. Osborne, Copeland, Hagen, all of them were in that time of the 70s. And I'll never forget listening to them, and I listened intently, and then I would get my Bible and study what they had taught us. And after you listen to so many, Marilyn Hickey really taught, grab a hold of the word and hold the word. You want to get your prayers met, then you grab that word and you read it and you get it in you. Yes, somebody say amen. That's what we do. And then Oral Roberts' entire, I can't say entire message because he taught wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. But one of his main things that he taught was plant a seed. Seed planting, seed planting, seed planting. And then the Copelands and Hagans, that was all about faith. Speak faith. You know, act on faith. We walk by faith. It was all a faith message. Of course, there was Billy Graham, and Billy taught salvation, salvation, salvation. And so you had so many of them, you know. Jimmy Swaggart would preach. You know, you preach, he was very hard to the point, and it was good for us in those days, and it's still good for you. But he would preach, be humble and drive a Volkswagen. And no, maybe not so severe. But then you'd hear Copeland saying, you know, be that man of faith and drive a Cadillac. And so I'm like, dear Jesus, what do I do? Do I drive a Volkswagen? Do I drive a Cadillac? Do I, and I couldn't have driven, could barely drive a Volkswagen then, Pinto wagon. And so, okay, do I plant a seed? Do I stay in the Word? Do I live by faith? Or is it salvation? And you had all these things. And I'm praying, and I loved them all. I loved Marilyn Hickey carrying the Word around the world. She's still doing it. She's about 85 years old, 89. And they're Ann Copeland, you know, they're Swaggart. You know, he's there sitting on a stool, but he's still doing it. And so you had all these wonderful messages coming at us. I shouldn't say it like that, but you know what I mean. I was eating them up. And Jim and Tammy on PTL, they always gave us a good variety of all of them at plus. And so one night I remember I was praying, and I was saying, well, Lord, what happens if a prostitute doesn't know how to plant a seed? She doesn't have a seed to plant. What if an old alcoholic out there needs to be healed? You know, he doesn't have the word to jump into. What does he do? And I just begin to say, what are we going to do with them? And I just felt, well, tell them what you know. Just tell them what you know, your story. If you have a chance, tell them your story. And then it was one afternoon. I was just picking up in the house, and I heard the Holy Spirit drawing me to his word. And he said, read the four Gospels. And I read the four Gospels, and when I finished them, I read them again. And the next time, I felt in my heart, I'm saying, well, Lord, what do I do? And he said, read those four Gospels again, and I want you to notice how the people that needed healing and they needed something from God, how did they get it? And so that's what I did. I started reading through again, and I want to show you what I got. Come on in, Angela. You're good. We let you walk right up to the front. All right. I want you to look over at Mark 8:2. Would you go to Mark 8, chapter 2? By the way, I see you here tonight, Gabby. God bless you and Barissa. You girls work so hard in VBS, and just so happy to see you here tonight. Glad you do get to get away, Gabby. You deserve it. And also, I saw Maria here. I said, Maria, thank you so much for all you and Danny did. I mean, help pick up the chairs and put them down, put them up. Jeff, all the security, and BJ. BJ even operated a puppet. He and Danny and Ricky was a puppet, and all of you guys were just awesome. Thank you so much. Amen. All right, let's look at Mark 8 and chapter 2. I just want to share three or four things with you, and then we'll pray. Mark 8, let's start at verse 1. We can start right there, Gabby, in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on their way, for some of them have come from afar. Now the crowds just kept growing and growing as they begin to see these miracles of Jesus. And as you notice, that was written in red. Now, these people, listen, it wasn't give me 1 hour service on Sunday morning. It wasn't just keep it down, Pastor, give me 1 hour, hour and a half at the most, and let me go home. These guys stayed 3 days. Look at that. They hadn't even eaten. That's what it says. They hadn't eaten. So Jesus knew they had a need. But look, let's read one more time. Now you'll see what I want you to see here. It was one of the things that the Holy Spirit focused in on or zeroed in on when I was that young little girl seeking how do we get our needs met. Look, Jesus speaking, I have compassion on the multitude. You do, Lord? Why? There's the good, bad, and the ugly probably in that multitude. But he knew where they were, what they were doing. And he said, why would he have compassion on that multitude? He said, because they have now done what? Does your Bible say continued? That's New King James. They have continued with me 3 days, and they've had nothing to eat. They have nothing. And if I send them away hungry to their houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. And Jesus had great compassion. Don't you love that? He is so precious. And he is so sweet. And he is so mindful of his people. And I know we look at that and we say, well, that was way back then. That was that multitude. I know it was. But I want to say, if he had compassion on them, he has compassion on us. And you know what? There's times where we need something to eat spiritually, or we've got a need and we have no idea how that need's going to be met. What in the world are we going to do? I mean, maybe it's just direction you need. Maybe it's a financial miracle, or your son or your daughter or your husband or wife. But Jesus said, I have compassion on you, the entire multitude. You've got even this little crowd tonight. We've all got different issues going on and stuff that we deal with in our lives. But Jesus said, look, if I just send them away hungry, if I don't do something for them, they might faint. They might faint. And I want you to know tonight, I felt this so strongly for three days this has been on my heart. I hadn't thought about this in years. I was thinking of it early this morning when I woke up. I'm just 3 days. Just tell them that I care about the whole bunch, the whole crowd. Because if I send them away hungry, they might faint and never get back to the fold. But you tell them that I have compassion doesn't matter where they've been, what they did, who they did it with. I have compassion upon them, and I will not send them away hungry. We are a hungry church, and we're a hungry people. And listen, he always sees hunger in his people. He always does. And he's not going to let us go away hungry. Even the people of Israel, when they needed physical bread, he gave them physical bread. When these guys needed physical bread to eat physical food, he gave them that. Most of us in here, it's not the physical food we're missing. But when it comes to that spiritual side of us, that soulish man that gives us the trouble. See, the flesh is good. But it's that flesh that picks at the soul. And it's the soulish man that gives us the trouble. But Jesus said, I've got an eye on you. I have compassion upon you, my brother, and upon you, my daughter. I've got compassion. And don't worry, you're not going to faint. I don't care how bad you think it is. You are not going to faint. You'll make it. All right, so let's go over here. Let's go to Luke 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 22 and 28. Again, this one's pretty amazing, and we'll just pull this down to be relevant to where we are. Luke 22, 28. Now this is where the disciples were arguing about their greatness, saying, hey, who's going to sit by you when we get to heaven? Can I sit at your right hand? And can I sit at your left hand? And so Jesus is talking about all that. But look at verse 28. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. Why did he feed the crowd? He said, they've continued with me. They're hungry. They continued. They stayed with me. They followed me. Where I went, they went. What I did, they did. They loved me. They continued. Now here's another group of people. He says, this is really funny. He says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. Jesus said, you didn't tuck tail and run when I had my trials. You're the ones that were right there with me. Now look what he said I'm going to do to you because you continued with me. So powerful. He said, I will bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, just like that, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, man, this is so much bigger than being at my right hand or my left hand. He said, you have gone with me through my trials. And isn't it funny that he goes with us through our trials? I mean, that's what we're thinking. He's always with me through my hurt, through my pain. When I was in the fire, he was there. He's always there. But he says, but I want you to know that you've gone with me through mine. When people have stepped on him and walked on him and despised him and cursed his name, what did you and I do? We stayed right there with him. We continued with him. We would lift him up and love him and come to prayer meetings and come to church on Sunday and talk to people about him. Converse with your brothers and sisters about him. He said, tell them I saw that. And they have continued with me through my trials. And he continues with us, folks, through our trials. So he said, so I'll just give you a kingdom like my Father gave me. That's almost too much for us to comprehend as humans. He said, my Father bestowed upon me a kingdom, and I will bestow one upon you, which means that you and I, we live on this planet Earth, which is quite a place. But thank God we live in America. And He said, now I live in a kingdom. My Father gave me a kingdom. It's a kingdom of heaven. And then when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of heaven is on you, or the kingdom of heaven is with you. And he said, just like my Father gave me a kingdom, I gave you one. Which means, yes, we live on this earth. But he says, you have a kingdom. You live in the kingdom. You and I live in this kingdom. Right now, we're in the kingdom. We're in it. We live in it. When the Bible says you live and move and have your being in it, it means when you go grocery shopping, you go grocery shopping in the kingdom. When you talk to people on the phone, you're speaking out of the kingdom. When you hurt even while you're in the kingdom. Jesus said, I know you do, because my Father bestowed a kingdom on me, and I hurt. I had trials, but you stayed right beside me. You stayed right in my kingdom with me. And so he said, I'm going to give you that same kingdom, and he has. You and I, we just have to understand it and know that. We just have to understand that we live and move, talk out of the kingdom, live in the kingdom. Whatever we do, it's in the kingdom that he's bestowed on us. Why? He said, I want to do that, verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, he was talking to his 12 disciples right there. And they're going to sit at that table, and they're going to judge those 12 tribes. But you and I are going to sit at that marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be sitting at that same table. He said, you're going to eat, you're going to drink at my table in the kingdom, but we don't have to wait until we get there. We eat and drink of him all the time. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have a life. And you and I get to come to his table once a month. And I can tell you right now, I could prove to you, you can go to his table every day if you want to. Because the Bible says in the early church, they went from house to house every day and broke bread and had fellowship with the saints. Now, I don't have communion every day, but I've got some friends that do. I've got plenty of pastor friends and other people that you say, well, would it become a ritual? Well, is Bible reading a ritual? No, it's not. Is praying a ritual? No. So he said, but you can eat of me. Jesus simply did tell us, as often as you do this, remember me. So there's no set time for us to come to his table. Okay, so I'm just going to be brief with these, but I want you to get the point that we continued with him. The crowd continued with him, and he fed them. He didn't sin. He said, I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to get tired. You know, help me out of Galatians chapter 5 about... In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. The law of sowing and reaping. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. So if we stray away from him and then we decide not to follow him, and some of the disciples, remember when he died on the cross? Many of them, the Bible said, they took off and went another direction. So we certainly don't want to do that, and we haven't. And you and me and many today follow him. But he said, I have kept you and I have fed you. All right. So let's go over to 1 John, the back of the Bible, back toward Revelation. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 19. Here it is. It's just talking about... Gabby, I'm sorry, honey. I always get you down here, and then I need you to back up one. Could we go back to verse 18? Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now look at this. They went out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. Now that's the followers, not necessarily talking about the disciples here except for one. But he said, had they been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. that they might be made manifest, and none of them were with us. But you, you that continue with me, you that have continued all this time with me, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And that anointing, if you look at that, the one of the Greek words, when Paul was writing, he always knew, and the disciples, as they were the inspired word of God, as it was coming together here with John, they always, they knew what these words were symbolic of or what they represented. And when he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, the anointing there was something that the shepherds used to put on the sheep. And my husband, I used to see the ranchers would spray this purple medicine. Some of you off the farm, you've seen that purple medicine that they'll spray on the cows to keep the flies off of them. They'll keep the flies off. Well, the shepherds used to spray this on to keep the, I don't know if it's purple or not, but it was like an oil. No, it wasn't. It was different. It was like an oil. And they would spray the sheep with the oil. And when the flies or insects or whatever would come, they would just slide off of that sheep, just slide off. And so here's what he's talking about here. He said, but you that's continued with me, you didn't walk out and leave me. You went through your trials, my trials with me. I went through mine with you. And when you got in a place that you didn't know what to do, he said, I had compassion on you because you continued with me. And so because you continued with me, I've given you a kingdom to live in. But here he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And this anointing, he's put all over us. Remember the anointing that he put, the anointing oil that he poured down on Aaron, and it said it ran down on his beard and down onto his garments? It was like that anointing oil that the shepherd put on the sheep. Well, John chapter 10 says Jesus is the good shepherd. And so he has filled us with the anointing oil. And when the devil's tactics and lies and wiles of the devil come at us, and those weapons are formed against us, he said, oh, those weapons will form against you, but they will not prosper. Why will they fall off of you? Because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So I'm just going to stop right there and let you just take that. Now, I didn't look up this one. You can study it somewhere, but I think Peter's mother-in-law, now I looked today in two or three of the Gospels, but I didn't see it, but I remembered seeing it then, so I'm going to have to hunt that down, that even when Peter went in to pray for his mother-in-law, remember she had a fever, and they brought Jesus over there, and she got up, he said, because she's continued with me. I'm telling you, there is something powerful. As the people of God, follow Jesus. Don't ever take it lightly what you're doing. What are you doing here tonight? We are here following our Master, our Lord, our Savior, our Anointer, our Kingdom, our King. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we praise you. Thank you for being in this house with us. We're going to turn the lights down, Lord, and we're just all going to come and follow you. We're going to follow you. I don't know where you'll take us tonight. Some, you might take them to the cross and let them repent of some things. Or we'll just, Lord, speak out of our kingdom that we need healing in our body, or we need a loved one healed. You said, oh, I'm not going to send you away empty. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to bless you because I don't want you to go home and faint. I want you to be happy. I want you to receive. Okay, let's stand tonight. It's been sweet to be in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, keep you safe and protected and blessed, financially blessed, emotionally blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.